Well, it's going to be an incredible, incredible evening. I'm so excited about having a dear friend with us. As I said a little while ago, we are not going to disrupt what God wants to do tonight to receive an offering. That's just not our style at Coastline Church. You have an opportunity to be generous, but that's between you and the Lord. We don't stop church services for money. You still have a chance to give us. So I encourage you to be generous to Pastor Saeed and bless him for his time with us. Saeed came to our church in Phoenix, Arizona. I was saved at that church. His pastor, Tommy Barnett, is my pastor. And this man loves the church. He loves the work of God so much that the plan was to put him on staff in September of 2001. And we all know what happened on 9/11 of 2001. And he came to my pastor, Tommy Barnett, and he said, "Pastor, you can't put me on staff right now." He goes, "The congregation would not understand. It's too sensitive right now in our country. My name alone could literally damage the church with people's feelings right now after 9/11. And my pastor said, "Only foolish people talk that way. And the work of God is bigger than all of that. And we're going to put you on staff." And Pastor Saeed came on staff at Phoenix First Assembly back in 2001 as he led the way to build an incredible prayer ministry there. He has an amazing testimony, which he's going to share tonight, as well as a message for us. And I believe God has something for all of us that are here tonight. I'm thrilled and excited to hear what God is going to speak to me personally. I don't know about you, but I'm excited and I'm hungry about what God has to say to me tonight through Pastor Saeed. So I pray, as Jesus said in Scripture, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what God would want us hear and what God would want us see tonight. Would you welcome a dear friend of mine, Pastor Saeed Husseini, with me tonight?
Thank you so much. What a blessing it is for us to be here tonight. And there's already a sense of the presence, expectancy in this place tonight. And I believe before the night is over, somebody's going to receive a miracle. Now you may ask, why somebody? Why aren't all going to receive a miracle? Well, the Bible says, if you believe, you will receive. And there's three elements, you know, when a miracle occurs. One thing is when heaven invades earth. And that's what we call a miracle. But the three elements that are required is that must be the right time, must be the right place, and you must be the right person. That's why some will say, "I'm in the right place, this is the right time, I'm the right person." So how many would say, "I'm in the right place tonight"? If you believe it, say, "I'm in the right place tonight. This is the right time tonight." And point to yourself, say, "And I am the one tonight." If you said that and you meant it, before the night's over, you're going to receive your miracle. You know, before we start, I just want to thank you, Pastor Ann and Amanda, for inviting us. I also want to recognize our dear friends, Jack and Sandra Carey, that we have known them for so long. They are the reason why we are in ministry. They're the ones who believed in us some 12 years ago that helped us to get into deacon ministry back in Phoenix. And they believed in us. They've always believed in us. And we just thank God for you, and we love you very much. Now, I would be amiss if I didn't recognize my wife here, my beautiful wife, Cynthia. Would you stand up? She's my best friend. She's my partner in ministry, the co-pastors with me. She's the love of my life. She is like my own American Express. I don't leave home without her. We met 33 years ago in a nightclub, and I asked her to dance with me, and we've been dancing ever since together. So I just thank God for her. You know, before we start, I want to put to rest a question you might have. I know I see the look. I've been around long enough to know when the look comes. That is, you look at my name and you say, "Its name is Saeed Husseini. That kind of sounds Arab." but he looks kind of Mexican. What's up with that? Well, let me put you to rest. I've had that question all my life. I came here in 1973. I was born in Iran, and I came here to go to school. Now, when I first came over here and people would ask, where are you from? You say, I'm from Iran. They go, where is that? It wasn't on the map yet. And they go, what are you? Are you Arab? I go, Arab? Don't call me Arab. I'm Persian. The Persian pride would come out. And, you know, and something happened in 1979 when we had the hostage crisis. After that, when they thought I was Arab, I didn't make an issue out of it. I was safe as an Arab until 9/11/2001. That horrible things that happened. As Pastor mentioned, one of the names that would appear on TV was very close to my name. So at the time, we lived in Arizona when that happened. So back then, when people thought I was Mexican, I said, si, senor, gloria a Dios. I was safe as a Mexican until recently, when all these border stuff started happening. So now, I got to make sure I carry my ID wherever I go. So if some of you have any idea what I can be next, please let me know. And I would be, you know, obliged to do that. I'm looking for ideas. Seriously, tonight, I believe God is going to do something amazing in our hearts. And you know, I learned this quite a few years ago. As pastors, we teach, we preach, and we pray. So there's teaching, there's preaching, and there's praying. When you teach, you're addressing the mind, the intellect. And we all have questions. We want explanation. When you preach, you're addressing the heart. And the heart is where we feel emotions. We get saved with our heart. That's when we accept Christ. But when you pray, you're not addressing the mind or the heart. You're addressing the spirit. See, the mind wants explanation. The heart wants emotion, a sensation. But the spirit wants revelation. So my prayer tonight is, before the night is over, that God will come and give us all a revelation of His Holy Spirit. Shall we pray before we start? Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you that your spirit has called each person to come here, as we heard a brother that you said come as he was watching TV, because you have a plan, you have a purpose. You want to give us all a revelation tonight of who you are and how your Holy Spirit wants to reveal greater things to us. So, Father, I pray that tonight we collectively put our hearts and spirit and minds together and say, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. That we would create an atmosphere for you to come and move in a way that you want to move. That you would give us all a revelation of your Holy Spirit. Because it's then and only then that we experience transformation in our lives. And that's what we're seeking tonight. So have your way, we pray. Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I said, I was born in Iran, and I give you a little bit of my testimony. And I came over here at the age of 13 to go to school. And growing up in Iran, we had our ideas about America. Everybody wanted to go America. I grew up in a Muslim family. So many things I saw as a Muslim child didn't make sense. And it always left me with more questions than answers. And the things that I saw people do and what they were saying did not correlate. I was so turned off by religion. I didn't want to have anything to do with religion. So when I had the opportunity to come to America, my goal became to become successful and rich. And that's what was driving me. I graduated high school at the age of 14, started college at the age of 15. I'm a boy among men. I didn't have any parents here. I didn't have any guardians here. So I partied. I tried everything. Man, I think by the grace of God, I met my wife at the junior year of going to college. I shouldn't have even been in the bar that night because I was underage. But it was by the grace of God that I met her. And my life is today what it is because of our encounter. Well, after graduating college, I asked her to marry me. We were engaged for 2 years. We dated for a couple of years and we got married. And when I finished college, I graduated in computer science. And back in 1979, there was no computer science jobs. So I started delivering pizzas for Domino's Pizza. And the company was growing at the time. To make a long story short, I got involved with them, became a manager. And we decided to franchise in the north suburbs of Chicago. We opened our first store in 1984. And boy, oh boy, success came so fast. We opened the doors. It was amazing what happened. We started opening stores left and right, and success came real fast. Now, I found myself now in a dilemma. Those things that I thought was going to make me happy. Remember, I said my goal was to become rich and successful. The goals I had for 20 years had become reality within 2 years. So I'm like, what now? So I started getting into all kinds of stuff, trying to make me happy. I thought another car, another house, another thing, another watch, another this, that. But every time I would acquire it, it was very short-lived. To find myself so empty, the more I accumulated, the emptier I got. Well, one day I'm driving down the road. Now, when we first got married, I told my wife, whatever you do, do not bring religion into our house. Because I was so turned off by religion. Do not bring religion into the house. So, when we... After that incident, I'm driving down the road one day, and I'm sitting in my brand new Maserati, driving it, smoking a marijuana joint. All of a sudden, I started crying. It was as though I'm talking to this force. I found myself talking to God. And it was God was asking me, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. Why am I crying? I have everything, but I have nothing. I went home that day, and my wife was sitting there reading the Bible to our little boy. And I got so upset because I was high. Because I said, do not bring religion into the house. I left and checked in a hotel down the street with the intention of never coming back. It was in that hotel room that God got my attention for the first time. I saw that for a moment that I could lose everything. My wife, my family, everything. So I went back and told my wife, we need to figure out what's going on here. She said, we've tried everything else, hasn't worked. Why don't we try God? Why don't we go to church? Now, I remember when I first got married, I forgot to tell you this. When we first got married, I was a Muslim and she was a Mormon. Okay? Muslim and a Mormon put together. You think they're worlds apart, but you have no idea how close they are because we have so much in common. We would exchange stories. So she's now reading the Bible and to our child. And I went in the, checked into the hotel room with the intention to never come back. When I came back, we said, okay, we're going to try church. She had gone to this Assembly of God church in a high school that found in paper. And when we walked into that place, I'm telling you, there was something about the atmosphere I just loved. I wanted what these people had. I wanted the smile. I wanted the love. I wanted everything. I'm like, what do these people have? Where can I buy it? I wanted it so bad. Kept going back for a while. Something just kept drawing me back to that place. Now, struggles started to begin in my head. Because my head was saying one thing. This was contrary to what I had been raised. You know? How could there be three gods? These Christians have three gods. There's a father and he has a son. And there's a spirit running around somewhere. It didn't make any logical sense to me. But nevertheless, I kept going back. And my heart was drawing me back. My heart was drawing me. See, my mind was saying no, was screaming no, no. But my heart was screaming, go, go, go. Well, it was about 9 months. After 9 months, I got so tired of listening to the mind screaming. The mind was driving me crazy. And the same time, my heart's driving me crazy because it's pulling me. My heart was saying, go, go. That day I said, God, if you are real, Jesus, whoever you are, I got to know today you're real. Today I have to know you're real before I went to the service. Well, that day, of all the things, they gave a message in tongues, a I tell you, folks, up to this point, the tongues just freaked me out. I just avoided it. I tolerated it because I loved everything else. I loved the worship. I loved the music. I loved the teaching. I loved everything. So this one thing I could overlook because I liked everything else. Well, they gave a message in tongues that day. This is what I heard in my language. It was as though God pointed his fingers between my two eyes and said, Saeed, you had asked if I was real. I am real today. Come forward and I will show you how real I am. Up to this point, I wanted to answer the altar call so many times, but every time I wanted to get up, my legs were chained to the pew as this force was holding me back. But that day, no chain, nobody was going to hold me back. I ran to the altar. And I found out later on that my wife had gone the other side of the altar. We both got saved on the same day. Now, I'll go down to the altar. Yes. See, it took us a while to find out about each other because we said, don't bring religion in the house. We were afraid to tell each other we got saved. Well, we started noticing the difference. Well, that day when I went down the altar and they said, I want to get saved. They said, what do I have to do? I said, hey, just say this, repeat this prayer after me. Okay, I repeat the prayer. They go, well, hallelujah, you're saved. I go, that's it? Yeah. I said, what do I have to do? Nothing. See, the concept of grace to me was unknown. I could not understand what that was because in my religion, you do and you hope to get. I didn't have to do anything with this. It was like a gift. I couldn't understand grace. They said, no. So I thought, all right, I tried. And it didn't work. So I went home. But I realized something had changed because the next time I went to pick up an alcoholic drink, I stopped to think, ooh. When I would get high, I was miserable. Couldn't wait to become sober. It was different all of a sudden. So I knew something had happened. And I would pick up the Bible, wanted to read the Bible. I would read the same passage over and over and over. It was just very hard, as though it was a foreign language. I read and spoke English very well. But it was as though when I would read the Bible, I could not understand it. Well, a few months later, my pastor said, we're going to give a teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit for 6 weeks. And after the 6 weeks, I'm going to give an invitation to come receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. After the first week was over, I'm like, why do I need to wait 5 more weeks? Why can't I have it now? Well, I waited 5 more weeks. Well, after the 5 weeks was over, they said, okay, come up front. Those who want to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was the first one that ran up front. Okay, brother, well, I'm going to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what do I need to do? All right, I'm going to pray for you. And then you're going to feel like babbling. I said, okay, that's all I have to do is babble. I can babble. See, I didn't have any ideas here. You told me babble, I can babble. So they lay hands on me. And then they want me babble. So I start babbling. They go, oh, hallelujah, brother, you got it. I go, I got what? You got the Spirit. I go, that's it. 6 weeks you were talking about power. 6 weeks you're talking about fire. You 6 weeks I've been listening to this. That's all I get? I felt nothing. See, I was again taking everything literally. They said power, I wanted power. They said fire, I want to see fire. None of that. I didn't see any of that. I go, all right, well, I guess I tried and it didn't stick. I went home. I knew something had happened. First time I opened my Bible, it was as though somebody had taken and translated for me in a way that I could understand it. I couldn't believe it. After that, the Bible, I became like a sponge. I wanted to learn everything there is to learn about the Bible. Our life started changing in a big way. We got involved in the church now. I was being discipled one-on-one, and we got involved. We became deacons of the church. We was on the board. The things of the business just start taking back seat. God was doing something different. See, I always wanted to be a businessman, be very successful. But God was doing something different in my life. He was calling me into a ministry. I didn't even know it. Well, throughout the time, and I make it short, he made it very clear about 10 years after we had our stores to, I want you to sell your stores and I want you to move. We prayed about it. Those 3 things we asked for happened within 48 hours. We sold all of our stores. It was a big deal. It happened. Boom, boom. We thought, okay, God, we're ready to move. Well, nothing happened. We sold the stores. Nothing happened. We're waiting. We waited for 2.5 years after we sold the stores. 2.5 years. So what do you do now? During that 2.5 years, we sold your businesses. You don't have a job. You know you're moving. You're not going to get a job. You're not going to buy another business. What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? We started praying. We started having prayer meetings in our homes. We didn't know what else to do. We invite people from the church that would come, and we put a CD in the player, and we would pray for hours. That's where God was training us, teaching us how to pray. 2.5 years later, okay, that's why I say it's got to be the right time, the right place. 2.5 years of silence. When God opened the door, it was amazing. I hadn't heard anything. We thought we were going to move to Florida, but for about a period of 30 days, Arizona kept popping up. Phoenix kept popping up. I'm going here. Somebody's talking about Phoenix in the morning. Somebody's talking. I see in the paper. My God, are you telling us to go to Phoenix? So I came home and I told my wife. I said, I believe God's telling us to go to Phoenix. What do you think? She said, what's in Phoenix? There's nothing but snake and sand. I said, I don't know. So I prayed. We prayed. Well, that Sunday we found out our best friend was being transferred, a job transfer. Guess where? Phoenix, Arizona. Now we had a reason to come and visit. When we came to visit Phoenix, I had prayed, Lord, confirm it through my wife, either love it or hate it, so I know if that's the place you're leading us to. Of course, as soon as we came off the plane, she loved everything about it. Somebody had told us to go visit this big church, Tommy Von Ness Church. We went there, we visited. Well, we walked in the second floor. We walked in there. It was as the Spirit of God was so heavy, we couldn't stop crying the whole service. We went back that night, cried the whole time. We said, oh God, if this is not the place, change your mind. We love this place. We went back, and within 2 weeks, we had a buyer for our house that we had tried to sell for 2 years, nobody looking at it. We shut down all the way. Everything started falling into place. Timing. We went to Phoenix. We started volunteering. We got involved at the church. And we were at the deacon ministry. That's when we went to met the Careys. And we just started volunteering, became a volunteer pastor there, etc., etc. We had our prayer meetings at home. We moved it to the church now. It started to grow. And I told Pastor Dale one time, I said, can you give us a room? I believe if you give us a room, we can do something with prayer. Sure. They gave us a room and we started. When we went there, we had five people. Five people started. We started just praying. What we have been doing, we just started praying. And believing God was doing something. At the meantime, I got a little antsy. I didn't wait on God. I went and bought a business in Scottsdale that it was already established. My God, you're not moving fast enough. I can't just sit around and just be volunteer pastor. You know, I have no income. Blah, blah. So I bought a business, and very good business. It was a rental business. We're doing very well. But the whole time now, towards the end of it, where I'm sitting in this business, my inside is saying, I don't want to be here. There's something else. There's something coming. Well, to make a long story short, I got a call from Pastor Dale Lane one day. This was in May of 2001. Informing me that the pastor of the deacon ministry was leaving. And he said, Pastor Barnes wants to know if you want the job. I was, of course, God had already spoken. I knew something was coming. I said, some things you have to pray about. Some things you know God wants you to do. I said, sure. They said, okay, you'll hear something in 2 weeks. 2 weeks went by. 4 weeks went by, 6 weeks, 8 weeks went by, nothing. I'm like, wow, what happened here? They must have changed their mind. This was in May 2001. And then, all of a sudden, you know, at the meantime, Pastor Leo Godzich in the hallway had come and said the year before, I want you to go to Uganda with me. And I said, oh, how much are the tickets? He said, $4,000. I said, get them to under $2,000 and I'll go with you. Never dreaming that would happen. Now, while I'm waiting for my phone call to come in, Pastor Leo comes in the hallway and says, we going to Uganda with me next week. I said, well, no. He said, yeah, I got the tickets. They were $1,800. I'm like, man, I'm waiting for my phone call. Back in my mind, the Lord said, no, you go. You go. Fulfill your commitment. The right time, your turn will come. Well, we went to Uganda. God did great things. I learned so much from him. The first day I called home, my wife said, you got a call from Pastor Barnett's office. The day you come back, you have an interview with Pastor Barnett. See, I had to go all the way to Uganda to be faithful to what I had told them I would do for my phone call to come in. Sometimes we sit there and say, we want to do ministry. And God puts ministry right in front of you. And we say, we step over the ministry to go do ministry. I learned a big lesson. Go do what God has called you to do. And your time, nothing is going to change it. Nobody is going to take what God's already separated for you, waited for you. Right place, right time, the right person. So I come back and have the interview, and I was supposed to start end of September. But something happened when the pastor left early, and it ended up changing to September 10th, which was a Monday. I had to do a funeral that morning, so I called Pastor Dale. I said, can I start the next morning? Well, we all know what the next morning was. My first official day at Phoenix First Assembly was September 11, 2001. I walked in that office so scared, thinking, oh God, what have you brought me to? What's going to happen here, God? And then you heard the story Pastor Aaron told you. I said, Pastor, I will step aside, bring somebody else in. He said, listen, God does not make a mistake. We don't understand his timing, but his timing is perfect. Get over your insecurity. That gave me the courage to say, if my pastor believes in me, I better step up to the plate. Since then, God has done amazing things. Through the prayer ministry, we have a $6 million prayer that is open 24 hours a day that God is using around the world, connected with so many different things. But I wanted to tell you that, all along the way, the Holy Spirit talks to us. The Holy Spirit whispers in our ears. Whether we hear him or not, that makes the difference. What's going to happen? See, at any moment, I could have said, I don't want to go to Arizona. See, if I didn't have that connection with the Holy Spirit, if I didn't recognize the voice, if I didn't have that connection, say, once we got to Arizona, to say, wait. Even though when I messed up, God said, okay, I'll bring it around again. He talks to us at different moments in our lives. But we like to hear the audible voice of God. We like to read the handwriting on the wall. We want proof. We want to all this. But God says, if you believe, if you commit that connection with my Holy Spirit, I will whisper in your ear. If you know the voice, John 10:27 says, my sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me and I know them. That's the difference that has made in my life. That day when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I made that connection, I started to change my life. Now, what was stopping me in the previous times to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, there were people that tried to handle the Holy Spirit with the mind. They're trying to explain them to you. Those are legalistic Christians. Legalistic. All legalist, all law and no grace. And then there were others that didn't care about that. It was all about emotions, feelings. There are feely, touchy Christians. Woohoo, they did all this weird stuff. I tell you what, every Christian that I knew that spoke in tongues before was either legalistic or weird. Because when you got wrong with your emotions, you become weird. Yeah, the Bible doesn't say we're to be weird. It says we're supposed to be peculiar. There's a difference between peculiar and weird. If you are weird, you are weird. There's no question about it. But if you're peculiar, that means, you know, I don't know what it is about you. I don't quite understand it, but I like it. I want to get close to you to understand what it is. That's peculiar. See, what happens is when it starts in the head, it has to make its way down to our heart. And then it cannot even stay there because we remain emotional. At some point, it must make its way down to our spirit. And when it makes its way down to our spirit is when we become peculiar. That's what the Bible calls spirit-led, spirit-filled, peculiar people. That's what God wants from us now. Do it with the Holy Spirit. Be peculiar people. People that can handle the presence of the Holy Spirit, but yet be real. Yet not be weird. walk in authority, walk in miracle signs and wonders, walk in saying, I can hear the voice of God. You can hear him for yourself, but you don't have to be weird to do it. See, when the flesh takes over, we become weird. When the mind takes over, we become legalistic. God does not want legalistic or weird, spirit-filled Christians. He wants peculiar people. And that's what my prayer is. When I go around, tell people about it, I said, become a peculiar Christian. Don't be legalistic. That's why I said, hey, I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to teach. I'm not here to preach. You got probably the best teaching and preaching you could get on the Holy Spirit today. Okay? If you cannot accept it after that much teaching, there's something wrong, because it's not making from its way down to your spirit. Okay? At some point, you must turn the mind off. You must allow it to go down to your heart and down into your spirit. God speaks to us in many, many, many ways. Most of the times, we miss his voice because we're looking for that drama. We are looking for drama. No, he speaks in quiet whispers. Sometimes he just says, be still. It's hard for us to be still. It is very hard for us to be still, especially if we are type A personality like me. That was the hardest thing I had to learn. Just be still. Even in our prayer time, we seem to think the more we talk, the louder we pray, the more effective our prayers are. No. Listen, it doesn't produce any power when I speak. My words don't produce any power. God's words produce power. Now, how is that? Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word two-edged in the Greek is the word dastomas, which means two mouths. Two mouths. What are the two mouths he's talking about? He's not talking about us having two mouths. You know people that have two mouths, they talk out of both sides of them at the same time? They tell you this one day and tell you another thing another day. That's not what he's talking about. The two mouths that he's talking about is the mouth of God speaking, whispering into your ear and my ear. You hear that word. Then he makes it down into your spirit. Now out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. You speak that word out now. The second mouth speaks. Now that produces power. But it only produces power if the first mouth had already spoken it, which is the mouth of God in your ear. And he does that all the time. We just happen to miss it. I want to give you an example of something that happened to me in 2009. It changed my life completely. I was sitting in a steam room after workout, which I do regularly at the health club. I was sitting in the steam room. And that is my time when I go down there, is to shut down and be quiet and listen to God. Listen to his whispers. I was sitting in the steam room and it had been broken for a while. It was working so well, so powerfully, that it was like, it was so thick I could hardly see my hand. I said, wow, God, this is like a fog. He said, yes, sit down. I want to talk to you in my fog. You're in my fog. I want to talk to you. Then he started telling me what the fog was. The scripture he dropped in my heart right off the bat was Luke 2:52, where it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He said, I want you to realize from this moment, you're going to live in my fog. In my favor. And he said, showed me what fog was. Favor of God. He said, from this point on, you're going to be living in my fog. He said, I want you to see the face of God. I want you to experience the fire of God. I want you to see the face of God. I want to lead you, hide you, guide you, cover you in my fog. Favor of God. And then when I got home that night, he gave me the ABCs of the favor of God. Ask, believe, confess, declare, expect, favor of God, all the way down to zeal. And he gave me the scriptures to match it later on. It was so amazing that he had me make these bands, which, by the way, I brought some for everybody here. Yet to have one. Living in the fog, favor of God. I'm telling you, since 2009, I have given over 10,000 of these away. And I can tell you so many different testimonies of what had happened. People that are aware. See, there's no power in the band, but they become aware of the fact that God wants to talk to them, and they're living in the favor of God. Next thing you know, favor is showing their way everywhere they go. God wants to do the same for you tonight. The next thing that God showed me was that I want you to experience the fragrance of God. Another fog. 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says that we are the fragrance of God to the saved and the unsaved. You know, there's a certain fragrance on Christians that carry the presence of God on them. The ones that are peculiar. They have a smile about them. They have a way about them. They have something about them that people want to be attracted to. That's the fragrance of God that's drawing them to you. And you know something else God showed me? Earlier this year, He said, I want you now start experiencing the faithfulness of God like never before. And He said, I want you to know that you are walking from this moment in the zone of the unknown. He gave me this message January of this year. And I've been walking in the zone of the unknown since January of this year. But do you know something? The zone of the unknown is not unknown to God. He already knows where that zone is. It's unknown to us. But He says, listen, if you experience the faithfulness of God, you can walk in the zone of the unknown. I'm carrying you, holding you by hand, and I'm carrying you into that zone of the unknown. Psalms 119:90 said, You are the faithfulness. Your faithfulness endures through all generations. That's what you're experiencing on this campus now. Faithfulness of God coming to pass of the promises He made to you years ago. Because right person, right time, and the right place, the combination is occurring here. And you are seeing the faithfulness of God released in this place. Oh, the greatest thing that He showed me was, He said, I want you now to experience the fire of God. Luke 12:49, Jesus said, I have come to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it was already kindled. You know, a fire is only as good as let it burn. I can put this fire out just like that. He said, I wish I already came to send fire on earth. I wish it was already kindled. So when I come, all I have to do is go and it would come on. But if you let this go too long, you let a fire go too long and you try to get it going, it's impossible. In order to get the fire going all the time, you must put wood on it. You must put kindling on it. How is that? How do we keep the fire of God alive in our life? By your prayers. Your prayers is what's keeping the fire going. The Holy Spirit praying through you, speaking in your ear, and you praying, walking in that is the fire of God. Was saying, I wish you would keep the kindling on your fire, so every time I would come, I don't have to start it from scratch. So you guys want, you're looking for drama, you're looking for things, you wait in between things. You want me to come and light a fire for you every time. But do something with it. At the meantime, don't look for drama. Don't look for thunder and lightning and all that every single time. Believe that I'm faithful. Believe that you're in my favor. Believe that the fragrance of God is on you. And walk in that during the times that you don't feel it. Don't be a feely Christian. Don't be a legalistic Christian. Are you going by your feeling and by your mind? Go with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit draw you. And you know one thing about the Spirit draws you. The Spirit doesn't push you. He doesn't push anybody. You know, it's a great book called Purpose Driven Life. It's a great book. It is fantastic. But one thing that was missing out on it was the spirit about the Holy Spirit. If they had put the Holy Spirit in that book, it would have been absolutely perfect. Yes, we are purpose driven, but what about being purpose drawn? See, the only one that does purpose drawing is the Holy Spirit. He says, I will draw you to your destiny if you are willing to keep the fire going. There was a prophet named Jeremiah. He was a young man, and he went through so much. At one point, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, at one point he said, listen, this is too much, God. I'm paraphrasing. Read it for yourself, chapter 20. He said, I've decided now, every time I open my mouth, I get persecuted. I get in trouble. So he said, from now on, I'm not even going to bring you up. I'm not even going to say anything. But it says something. Jeremiah said this. He said, every time I decided not to say something, he said, I couldn't stop it because the fire of God shot out of my bones. He said, I couldn't do it. I would put it down. It would pick me up because the purpose was so in me. The fire would shoot out of my bones. Sometimes we have to, in spite of the things that we're going through, to say, God, I don't understand it. I certainly don't feel it. And if I feel anything, it's not good. It is, what I'm feeling is not good. It sure doesn't make any sense to my mind. But God, help me, because you have a purpose and destiny for my life. And I do not want to be drawn. I don't want to be driven by my mind or by emotion. Another thing that happens is in the fog, you see the face of God. Face of God. When you see the face of God, you're never the same. There was a person named Jacob in Genesis 33. He said, I wrestled with God. He said, I wrestled with God so much. And I said, okay, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he said, it was in that place that I saw the face of God, and I was never the same after that. He walked with a limp after that because he wrestled with the wrong eye. But he said, it's okay. When I saw the face of God, I was never the same after that. Something happens to us when we see the face of God. Psalms 34, 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you see the face of God, you taste for yourself. And once you get the taste of that spirit, the reality of that spirit, you're never the same because you've tasted for yourself and you have seen. When I received the Holy Spirit that day, it wasn't because of man. It was in spite of man. It was in spite of man. God had to bypass all the weirdos, all the legalistic people that I was basing my opinion on. He said, I'm going to bypass them. I'm going to directly come to you in your ears, and you're going to hear my voice in a language you're going to understand. He knew what it was going to take for me to know that he was here. I tasted and I saw that he was good that day. And I was never the same after that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. 10 years ago. Almost to the date. God spoke. I was on the mountain. I'd been on staff only a few months. God spoke on the mountain. He gave us Isaiah 56, 7. He related to it. That was the scripture. I will bring him to my holy mountain. I will establish my house of prayer. It shall be a house of prayer for all nations. God said, it's time now. You're in the right place and you're the right person that I'm going to use to bring the dream of Pastor Tommy Barnett to pass. I went down the mountain and I talked to Pastor Barnett. I said, Pastor, I was up on the mountain and the Lord spoke this to me. He said, it's time. And he gave me the idea of how to do it. Bring a tent and bring a chair, some chairs. We had some plastic chairs and a tent. I said, if you allow me to do that and put it up there, I believe we can start the prayer chapel. For 4 years, we prayed under the tent and those plastic chairs. But God spoke that day. He said, pick up a rock. I picked up a rock. I know the date because I had it engraved on there. 8-21-02. It will be 10 years here in a short few days. I had this sitting on my desk the entire time. For 5 years, I looked at it. I said, God, when is that? You spoke the vision. I know I heard your voice. When is it going to come to pass? He said, keep believing, keep believing, keep believing, keep praying, hold on. Not yet. It's not the right time. It's the right place. You're the right person, but it's not the right time. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And when it happened, when God gave me that idea, he said, also, I want you to pick up two other rocks. Give one to that man, Jack Carey. And give one to Jack DeBarlow, the architect. That's all I said was God spoke to me. And I wrote that, I engraved that scripture and gave it to him. God spoke to me to give one to you, give one to Jack DeBarlow. I left God to do his work. Well, he did great works in their heart. Because they were great, great instruments in that prayer pavilion coming to pass. And then God gave the vision to Jack DeBarlow about the design of the whole thing. And how to design it. 5 years it took. Then I said, okay, God. You said, another thing that he said, I was standing on top of the mountain when talking with Pastor Barnett. Pastor Barnett said, what is your vision for this? I said, do you really want to know? I said, yes. I said, I believe this is going to be the first. The first one is not even built yet. They haven't dug the hole yet. I said, I believe this is going to be the first of many, but there are going to be prayer pavilions around the world that are going to come around the world. Pastor said, well, praise God. Good. I held on to that vision. I held on to that vision. God, you said there's going to be prayer pavilions around the world. When is the next one going to be? And it is amazing. The word of God never returns void. Jeremiah 55:11 says, my words never return void. They always accomplish what it was sent forth. When he spoke that word to me, they're going to be, first one, we're going to have a prayer pavilion. And then the second one, they're going to be around the world. I said, God, when is that going to happen? When I got the call from Pastor Aaron to come here, it wasn't a couple weeks later that she said, by the way, we're going to have the dedication of our prayer chapel. You know what the Lord spoke to me? I want you to pick a rock for them. And I engraved the date of today here for you to hold on to as a memorial of what God has already begun to do this night. And when I was praying in my room, the Lord gave me a word for you guys. I want to speak that word over you. I want you and your wife, please come over here. You to hold on to this rock as a reminder what God has already done. We saw with our own eyes up there, a light on a hill that cannot be put out, that God is going to use for this entire area. And I believe the word of God to you is, because you have been faithful with little, because you have been faithful when you have gone through the trials, you have not looked left to the right, you have looked to him, you have looked to the one, the purpose that he has been drawn. He has brought you here for this time. You are in the right place at the right time, and you are the right ones. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither has it entered into your hearts those things that God has prepared for you. Get ready for what's about to come. Get ready for the favor of God to be released upon you unlike anything you have ever seen before. Get ready for the fragrance of God to be released in your church, that as people drive by will smell that fragrance that want to come up here. Get ready for the faithfulness of God that's going to be released upon you. Get ready for the fire of God that's going to come out of this place, and all who see it would want it. He has chosen you as his chosen vessels for this time. He has handpicked you for this time. He has handpicked you for this place. And he has handpicked you for such a time as this. Because you have put what is closest to his heart first. Watch what he'll do for you from here on. you have made the number one, which is number one to him, your number one. Now, watch his faithfulness as he would use you in ways that you have not even imagined in this whole area. That is the word God gave me for you as your church. Would you stretch your hand towards them? Father, we just thank you for this couple. We thank you, God, for this couple. We anoint them with a fresh anointing right here at this altar, God. Tonight you have sealed your word, your promise. Our eyes have already seen up on top of the hill what you've already begun here. This is just the beginning. And I pray, Lord, there will be a fresh release of anointing, of fire upon them like never before. As your pastors of this church, and they are your pastors as a couple, Father, you would raise them to a new level. Let the favor of God be released upon them, unlike anything they have ever experienced in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts 1:3. It says that Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. For 40 days. And it said, he showed by infallible proofs of what had taken place. When you see a miracle, it's an infallible proof of who God said, because he said, I will confirm my word with signs, miracles, and wonders following. If you believe. If you believe. Matthew 16, he asked Peter, who do you say I am? Everybody else thought he was Isaiah or he was another prophet. But he said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, good. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father has revealed that to you. How does he reveal that stuff to us today? Through the power of his Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift that God gives to us. It's a gift. Especially for nowadays, we need that gift more than ever because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So all who would see would know there's no way man could do this. I love when he prayed up on top of the mountain, God, let no one take glory for what's taking place here. I'm not worthy to even be here. I can relate to that. An ex-Muslim drug addict married to an ex-Mormon being the prayer pastors of Phoenix First Assembly. There's only God can do that, folks. I cannot take glory for anything. Only God can do that. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, kingdom of God is not of many words, but it's of power and demonstration of the power. See, words, we need to talk about words. Words, what you do with words, you debate. That's why Jesus never debated with anybody. He didn't argue with anybody. He wasn't there for a debate. What did he do? He demonstrated with power. Words debate, power demonstrates. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to demonstrate his power in your lives. Now I'm going to finish with this. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift that God wants to give to you. A gift is only a gift. You don't have to deserve the gift. You don't have to earn the gift. It's only a gift. If I want to give this to you as a gift, I want to give this as a gift. Any takers? I want to give this as a gift. I mean, somebody has to come and grab it. There you go. He finally got it. Thank you. All right. I mean, it's only a gift. But when you take it, it becomes your gift. God wants to give you this gift. Just like salvation was a gift, this is a gift also. And I want to mess your maybe theologies a little bit. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already filled with the Spirit. The moment you accepted Christ, His Spirit came in you. That is your first baptism. Did you know that? When you get baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit draws you and you get baptized in Christ, you become a new creature. Then the second baptism is baptism in water. We tell the whole world that we follow in Christ. It's an outward sign of what is taking place on the inside. But the third baptism, the highest form of baptism, is baptism in the Holy Spirit, where Christ Himself comes and baptizes you in His Holy Spirit. You get baptized in Him and He gets baptized in you. Or baptism, baptismal means completely enveloped, completely full. For something to be completely full, that means it must be overflowing. The Bible says, out of the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The only way that's going to happen is if you're so full that it's going to overflow. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift that God wants to give to you tonight. One prerequisite is to accept Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. That's the only prerequisite. Since I don't know all of you, I'm going to take care of that real quick. So the devil cannot lie to you later. Says you didn't get it because you weren't eligible. So it's real quick. Everybody said, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross and saving me. You're now my Lord. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Quick, simple, doesn't have to be long, drawn out. Simple. Come into my heart, I accept you as my Savior. That's it. If you just said that prayer right now, it makes you eligible to receive this gift that He wants to give to you. You already met the prerequisite. The next thing is that you must believe it's for you. Do you believe it's for you? Remember I said earlier, some people are going to receive miracle. Those who believe. Do you believe it's for you? The next thing is that you must desire the gift. Do you desire the gift? Because He's not going to force His gift down your throat. People aren't going to shout Holy Spirit in you, unlike the old scenario where they would gather around you, try to shout or scare the Holy Spirit in you. And you would babble just to get Him off your back. And it wasn't real because He did it from up here. No, He's not going to force Himself on you. You must desire the gift. The next thing is that you must ask for the gift with your own mouth. And the final thing is that you must do the speaking. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of water, living water. I'm sure you got the great teaching today on Acts 1 and Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, what had happened. The tongues of fire fell and they all started speaking in unknown tongues. It's the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. But let's not get hung up on the initial evidence. There's far greater evidence that you need to want, which is an enduring evidence, which is a changed life. Because if you got the initial evidence, all you did is walk around speaking tongues and babbled and there was no changed life, what good did it do? All you're doing is turning other people off because your life now is not lining up. Therefore, changed life is the enduring evidence that you will have. A changed life is a result of what has taken place is real. It's an evidence. It's infallible proof that what God has done is real. Why is it important to speak it out loud? Three things happen when you speak it out loud. God hears it. And He says, "They finally believed me. And they gave their mind and their emotion and will, everything over to me. And by faith, that which was bubbling out of them, they let it come out of their mouth." The devil also hears it. And he's like, "Doggone it, I lost another one. Because now I cannot lie to him anymore. The eyes are going to be open. The prayers are going to be so powerful, I'm not even going to understand what they're praying." And the third thing that happens when you pray out, when you say it out loud, it goes right back in your ear. And you hear it and you believe it for yourself that it actually happened. A language. A new language, a heavenly language. Adam, when he walked on the earth, it says, he walked with God, he talked with God in the cool of night. There wasn't a language back then. It was his spirit talking, God's spirit, and they were connected. And something happened when Adam fell. That connection was disconnected. That language of the Spirit was disconnected. And Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, reestablished that connection. He said, now what Adam lost, I'm going to give back to you. So you can start communicating with my Father for yourself. If you believe that's for you, if you desire it, if you're willing to turn your mind off and tell your emotions to be still for a while, don't be not led by your emotions or your intellect, and you're willing the Holy Spirit to baptize you, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. If that's you, if you believe you're in the right place, and this is the right time, and you're the one, come stand up here. I'm not going to drag this out because we want to pray for people. If you believe it's for you, and you know, God wants to do something new in you, come on up here. There's nothing strange or weird about what's going to take place. It's God, and it is so real. And I have so much so much trust in what God is doing. Every time I give this invitation, because I know it's not me. If the person believes, they are ready, they open their mouth, God will fill their mouth.